We are glad to present your speaker, Garland Elkins.
We discuss a number of different Bible subjects on this program because we're to teach all of the counsel of God. Paul said to the elders from Ephesus as he addressed them at Miletus, he said, I take you to record this day that I am free or pure from the blood of all men, for I shrank not from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. Acts 20:26-27. So we have discussed the church of our Lord from time to time, how to become a Christian, how to worship God in spirit and in truth, the organization of the church, the living of the Christian life. And today I want to discuss the subject of prayer. And particularly I want to discuss praying as Jesus prayed. In the first place, I would mention, though, that in order for one's prayer to be heard, one must become a Christian. For in Proverbs 28:9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the word of the Lord, even his prayer shall be abomination. And in John 9:31, the blind man correctly stated, based on Proverbs 28:9 and other Old Testament passages, we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, notice, doeth his will, him he heareth. So we must be doing and obedient to the will of the Lord and become one of his children before we can expect our prayers to be heard. But the Christian is admonished to follow in the steps of Christ. In 1 Peter 2:21, Peter said, for hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps. Our Lord set an example in his character, his service, his concern, and in his worship. As followers of Christ, we would do well to remember all of these things. In fact, we must do that in order to please him. So in this lesson, we shall be concerned particularly with the prayer life of Christ, that we may learn to pray as he prayed. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:17, wherefore it behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining unto God. It is also said that he hath been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. In achieving this goal, Christ recognized the need of prayer. Certainly in our lives, we should recognize and feel the same need. By looking at his prayer life and praying as he prayed, we can better learn how to live as he lives. Now, Christ lived a life of prayer. He often prayed, and the words pray and prayer are used at least 25 times in connection with our Lord in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That he prayed is also mentioned many times. Christ must have received much strength from his prayer life. Those who do not spend much time in prayer are not true followers of the Lord. When Jesus was baptized, it is said that he prayed, Luke 3:21, and he began his ministry as we see him going into a desert place to pray, Mark 1:35. When he was praying to send, preparing to send forth his 12 apostles, it is said he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Luke 6:12. When those who ministered his purpose or misunderstood his purpose tried to crown him as an earthly king, he slipped away from the multitude. And again he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when even was come, he was alone. Matthew 14:23. When the 70 brought back the good news of the mighty works they had performed in his name, he demonstrated how to repel the dangers of success by prayer. In Luke 10:21, he prayed at the grave of Lazarus. In John 11:41. And after his farewell talk to his disciples in the upper room, he prayed a most touching prayer, John 17. Shortly afterwards, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 22:40. And on the cross, he continued to lift his voice to God in prayer, as the first statements he made were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But Jesus prayed privately. The part that private prayer had in the life of Jesus is something that every Christian should carefully consider. Let us observe some of these occasions. "And in the morning, a great while before day, he rose up and went out, and departed into a desert place, and there prayed." Mark 1:35. The day before had been a very busy one, but Jesus shortened the hours of sleep that he might arise early and continue his communication with his Heavenly Father. He communed with his Father. Now there we find him engaged in secret prayer, away from his disciples, in a desert. And this was while the day was young. Always one of the very best times for prayer, and a time when prayer should not be omitted. It was David who said, "O Jehovah, in the morning shalt thou hear my voice. In the morning will I order my prayer unto thee, and keep watch." Psalm 5 and in verse 3. Those of us who would really fall in the steps of Christ must learn to pray, but we must learn to pray in the morning, as well as other hours. Now, if that is not done, things will go wrong and our spiritual life will not develop. By this, we fortify ourselves for the temptations and trials of the day. It is imperative that early in the morning, we seek a place where we can be alone with the Lord. He arose while the world was still and received strength for the day at the throne of grace. And imitating his example, we too can receive real strength from God. On at least one occasion, the Lord prayed all night. The appointment of the 12 was one of great importance. In this, he gave us an example of prayer. And when we are confronted with great emergencies, and when important duties are to be undertaken, and special difficulties are ahead of us, as Christ did, we should seek divine blessing and direction in prayer. An unusual portion of time for supplication should be spent. Even if we spend a whole night in prayer, we have the example that Christ also thought it necessary sometimes thus to pray. In his private devotions, we find him in the desert, in the wilderness, on the mountain, and in the garden. He felt the need of being alone with God, away from the people and the world. And as followers of Christ, as Christians, disciples of the Lord, we need to cultivate this habit of secret prayer. Nothing can take its place. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thine inner chamber, and having shut thy door, pray to thy Father who seeth in secret. And thy Father who seeth in secret shall recompense thee." Matthew 6 and in verse 6. But Christ not only prayed privately, he prayed publicly. Beside his private prayer life, Jesus prayed often publicly. At the resurrection of Lazarus, he prayed as a multitude stood around. John 11:42. In the upper room with his apostles, while in the very shadow of the cross, fervently he poured out his soul in prayer. And on the cross, he spoke 7 times, and 3 of this number were prayers. Among other things, he said, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" And he also prayed in the first statement of the 7, and it was a prayer, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," in Luke 23. And in Luke 23:46, he prayed, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." While the Christian has the example of Christ's public prayers, he must ever remember that Jesus condemned all such prayers that are uttered for the praise of men. He said, "And when ye pray, ye shall not be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets." Now note why. "That they may be seen of men." Matthew 6:5. We must always remember that God is concerned about our sincerity. But how did Jesus pray? Our particular interest to us should be how Jesus prayed. It is quite obvious that Christ thought prayer had more benefits than the psychological effect it had on him. You know, some people of our day claim that prayer has a psychological effect, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Christ believed that his prayers would be heard. When praying at Bethany, it is recorded that he said to the Father, "And I knew that thou hearest me always." John 11:42. While upon earth, he said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Matthew 7:7-8. John further elaborated on this when he said, "And this is the boldness which we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of him." 1 John 5:14-16. Thus the Christian must believe in prayer, and that God lends a listening ear to his petitions, even as it is written, "For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears unto their supplication." 1 Peter 3:12. Christ, though also prayed, submissive to the Father's will. In the garden he prayed, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Matthew 26:39. He taught us to pray in that same attitude when instructing his disciples how to pray, saying, "Thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth." Matthew 6:10. If we are to be well-pleasing unto the Father, we must have that attitude of submissiveness. God may say no to our prayers sometimes, or give us something else on certain occasions. He may say yes, but our attitude should always be, "Thy will be done." He knows best, and even knows that the requests we make sometimes may not be for our good if granted. Sometimes a little child would like to have the scissors, and he or she may cry for those scissors, but the mother or the father will not allow the child to have the scissors, for they know that that would be dangerous to the child, that he might actually lose an eye or hurt himself or herself in some other way. So we can rest assured that what God does give in answer to our prayers is for the best always. It is ours to ask with the right attitude, and it is his to give us according to his will. We cannot help but be deeply impressed with the fervor with which our Lord prayed. In Luke 22:44, in the garden, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood." This description of his touching prayer in the garden is an indication of the agony of his soul as he poured out his heart to God. Again, the seriousness and earnestness with which he prayed is revealed in the words of the writer of the Hebrew letter in Hebrews 5:7. "Who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and having been heard for his godly fear." With strong cryings indicates an outcry, the voice of wailing and lamentation. It is the cry of one distressed or in danger, and must here refer to the praying of our Lord when in agony in Gethsemane or when on the cross. And tears reminds us of his lament over Jerusalem and of his prayers for the people as he was hanging on the cross. What tremendous power our prayers could work with God if we took our prayer life as seriously as did Jesus. There's a great danger that our prayers will become nothing but the mere saying of words. Yet James said, "The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working," James 5:16. But in giving an illustration of how this righteous man should pray, he mentioned Elijah, saying that he was a man of like passions with us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, friends, truly, if it is the prayer of the fervent in spirit, then God will be pleased if we pray according to his will, and being fervent in spirit is a part of that. We can learn that from the Lord when we learn to pray as he prayed. Our Lord also prayed conscious of his frailty as a man, who in the days of his flesh offered up prayers and supplications. He was aware that he had been in all points tempted like unto his brethren. He did not meet his temptations while in the flesh as God, but as a man. The temptations that came to him were real. He prayed modestly, without show, and simply. This clearly is shown in his beautiful prayer of John 17. It is a model of simplicity and is without show. In it he addressed God as Father 3 times, O Righteous Father once, and Holy Father once. There were no big words and no flowery speech. He said, and in praying, use not vain repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Matthew 6, 7 and 8. It is also pointed out that Christ prayed with thanksgiving in his heart. At that season, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and understanding, and didst reveal them unto babes. Matthew 11, 25. Paul urges us to pray with that same attitude. He said, in nothing be anxious, but in everything but prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. But for whom did Christ pray? In addition to seeing when and how Christ prayed, it would be well for us to remember for whom he prayed. Conscious of his needs and temptations, he prayed unto him who was able to save him from death. Hebrews 5, 7. Desirous of being triumphant and of being made perfect through his sufferings, he prayed that the Father might glorify him with the glory that he had with him before the world was, John 17, 5. Thus in his prayers he was unselfish and prayed not for worldly acclaim, for riches, or for honor. His supreme desire is expressed in his own words, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, John 17, 2. He prayed for his apostles. The keynote of his prayer for them is that the Father would keep them, John 17, 24. Earlier, he had also prayed for Simon Peter, saying, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan asked to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I made supplication for thee, that thy faith fail not, and do thou, when once thou hast turned again, establish thy brethren. Luke 22, 32. Our Lord also prayed for those who would believe on him as a result of the proclamation of his word. In John 17, 20 and 21, he said, Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they also may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And so he was burdened for his followers. The keynote of his prayer for them is the oneness of the believers. He was burdened for his followers that they would never be divided, but united as one great body, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou sent me. The Lord knew that a divided group would find it difficult to convert the world. To those of us who live so many centuries afterward, this is quite evident. In praying as our Lord prayed, we need to pray fervently for that same unity he yearned for. The tie that binds us to him and each other should prompt us constantly to seek and pray for the unity he asked for. Jesus did not pray just for his own, but for the world and for all sinners. Possibly two of the most beautiful passages in the New Testament are the ones telling of his weeping over and praying for Jerusalem and concerning his love for the ones who put him to death. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto her, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Matthew 23:37. He prayed for the people as he was being crucified that killed him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Matthew 23:34. Not only did he set this example of praying for his enemies, but he taught us to do the same thing. He said, Love your enemies, and pray for them that persecute you, that ye may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? Matthew 5, 44 and 45. May we all be encouraged to pray as our Lord prayed, as we seek to follow in his steps. In doing so, we will not only become more like him, something that he longs for, but we will see our own joy in God's service increase from day to day. Those about us will observe this transformation in our lives and in the church, and the world will both be blessed by us, as well as the church. God will bless people of God who do his will. I urge you to become a Christian, that you may be in position to pray to God. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Then live the Christian life. And prayer is a part of that Christian life. May the Lord bless you, that you may do His will.